the world and peace. But we were born of risen apes, not fallen angels, and the apes were armed killers besides. And so what shall we wonder at? Our murders and massacres and missiles and our irreconcilable regiments? Or our treaties, whatever they may be worth, our symphonies, however seldom they may be played, our peaceful acres, however frequently they may be converted into battlefields, our dreams, however rarely they may be accomplished. The miracle of man is not in how far he has sunk, but how magnificently he has risen. We are known amongst the stars by our poems, not our corpses. Robert Ardrey. Preface. What you are about to hear is a complete fabrication, pure conjecture. It stands here to prevent you from being scared of the large politics of the world. It stands here asking you to become a great being by means of self-education, authenticity, dignity, inheritance of wisdom from countless well-narrated books describing meaningful lives, by asking you to fill your mind with such genius that it will be you who in greatness does create a work that will explain the world correctly. Part 1. Criminal Minds. One of the most frightening things are criminals. Who are they? And how can they be so different from us? They are children who have been betrayed by adults. They are perfectly capable human beings, but raised with a vocabulary of violence on their brains. The way to understand this is to look at behavior of uncontacted tribes. Insight into the criminal minds will be one of their great and lasting gifts to us. Approaching a warrior of an uncontacted tribe is likely to result in bodily injury or worse. Now, the uncontacted tribe vocabulary is not a vocabulary of pure violence. It is by far better than that. A warrior is a powerful, wise, and noble creature. And yet, by our definition, their behavior as it stands is criminal. And the best thing we can do is not to interact. Because by interacting with an uncontacted tribe, we will destroy them. Now, poverty, hunger, homelessness, beatings, shame, drugs, alcohol, hate, prison, all adds up to create a boy who is like a warrior of an uncontacted tribe. But here, he has been betrayed by the entirety of the modern world. And if his vocabulary wasn't a vocabulary of death and violence, he would have long died in the streets. both the warrior of an uncontacted tribe and the boy that we have betrayed and abandoned to the streets, are deadly. While the uncontacted tribe, short of some scouts, has made a decision not to approach. Sometimes, in order for the boy of the streets to survive another week, he will approach. He will have to approach. To empty a register, to take a purse with a new iPhone. One of his first possessions will be a firearm, and he will kill if anyone tries to stop him. He will. There are ways to help him, to guide him, but it will now take a lifetime. And in the end, this now man, not just a warrior, will say in his greatness, "As much as I appreciate your help, I wish that instead of spending time with me, you took the horror of my life and made all the pain and suffering count for something more than just me." That's how a man speaks in his greatness. I wish you invested your efforts into preventing other children from being betrayed the way that I was betrayed. That is the ultimate medicine. That is the healing for someone who has been crushed. Part 2. The politician. We feel like politics has betrayed us. A politician will vote for their own race countless times, but will prevent the lifting of the minimum wage to something reasonable. A politician may celebrate not helping veterans and encourage teenagers into going into war. What is this? What in the fuck is going on? Though they go through an election process, that politicians are elected is largely a fantasy. I know it sounds unbelievable, but it is the truth. They are passed along, rather, in little known elections, and their wealth certainly does not slow them down. A politician does not represent a quest for goodness or a step towards what we want the world to become. A politician is more of a man that has a sophisticated lifestyle. His sport is golf. His suits are expensive. And he prefers to purchase luxury items. His family has likely been involved in politics forever and a half. And this son of a gun has been on lists and ballots and posters for years and years, maybe even goddamn decades, until he finally won and made some new friends and joined some new circles. He mingled, smoked expensive cigars, and probably checked out some interns. His understanding of veterans is people that shoot machine guns and often miss an arm or a leg and need to be in a wheelchair. His understanding of your minimum wage is not to fuck with it, or he will not be able to advance up the ladder and probably get kicked out of some circles down the road. He likes cigars. And if he can get away with something, or, you know what, get impeached in front of the entire world, it will f***ing make his year. And he will order a really big box of cigars that will cost more than all the money you spent on college for your kids. Now, let me make it clear that your money and his money are not the same kind of money. Your money is a treasure. It represents work every day for most of your life to get the kids through college. This is far different from the kind of money that someone is born into and knows to throw away to make themselves feel a little bit better. The world needs repair. Part 3. The man who sold the world. The teachers did not, in fact, conspire together to create deadly criminals and severely stupid politicians. They are the kids that students want to be like, that turned right around and cleverly went into education. There is an incredible beauty to a teacher, almost takes your breath away, right up until they realize that they have no clue what to fucking do, and they still fucking do it for a paycheck. Because it doesn't matter. There are teachers who quit, and there are teachers that want to change the world. Bless them. But there's also people out there who just don't care, and it will hold back a kid, and the misery of their life will also cause misery in somebody else's life, countless lives. Holding back someone isn't the worst they do. The worst thing they do is actually what feels good for a student. It's like sugar. They pass them along. So not only are they functioning within a fake educational system, but they're just passing kids along. They don't want to screw with them. And these children go on class after class uneducated. The teachers look peachy because they are graduating students left and right. But that's not true. Now, these matters are not as simple as teachers passing the students forward. Oh, forget that. That's nothing. Standardized education can't work. All the textbooks and the lectures, they don't work. That's why the teacher has to put on a show. That's why they're passing everyone along. School does not work. It doesn't teach. That's the problem. You see, the way to prevent the boy from part one from becoming a deadly and murderous criminal, something that even after he leaves jail, he will never be able to cope with, because every day he becomes smarter and wiser and climbs above his youthful self. He will feel the pain of what he did. A lot of people don't understand that it wasn't them doing it, that they were a victim of arrogance, that they were thrown into the street, that they had no chance but to survive, And there are no answers here. There is no answer to what is right, to what is wrong. It's just like with the tribe. There is no answer. There is nothing you can do to fix any of it. There is no good. There is no evil. There is no left or right. We failed. The only thing that can be done in this situation is preventing others from becoming like that boy. That's it. Prevention is the only answer. To practice prevention, we need to help him to a school that works. He would go there because the school would pay him for it. It would end his poverty like that. No more poverty, no more street, no more shitty parents, no more shitty neighborhood. You can actually move anywhere in the world. Anywhere there is a participating school. The future of humanity actually depends on middle school students participating in exchange programs all over the world. You want to go to Tokyo? No problem. They just build several new schools to contain all the international students. Do you want to go to Antarctica? Oh my gosh, there's so many new schools there. From this terrible street that creates warriors that must kill in order to survive another day or week. This boy goes all the way around the world, inheriting this notion that we are all the same, that cultures are not made out of unbreakable crystals, but actually are quite fluid like water. That they can change, that they can grow, that we can converge on wisdom and good ideas. You see, this person will not become a criminal. He will be an enlightened man. He will be amazing, probably change the world, certainly propagate wisdom all around. But get this, we don't know what a real school is actually like. Nobody does. We haven't made one yet. Up until now, all the schools in the world were just an experiment that failed. It failed with benefits for the bad guys. It created a workforce, a machine for mowing minds, in some places, a machine for poisoning the future generations with propaganda so stupid that we can't even believe it can pass for news. School failed in the worst way. It hurt us back. Like so many other inventions, the fake opportunistic politicians that never got elected into their places allowed the more cunning politicians, the really good ones, the liars that enjoy climbing, it helped them to get what they were always after. The four-letter word. M-O-R-E. It can be more weapons manufacturing for their brother-in-law. It can be more interns to stare at. It can be more golf games with the prime minister or president. More, 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 more. The four-letter word of death. In many places around the world, modern schools, the ones that have certainly failed, are a framework that turns a student into a resource, like coal. High school indoctrinates into college. College takes all the family savings. This is the sacred money that is earned with hard work. This is not normal money. It is all the family had and has been saving for the kids to go to college. This is not allowed to be taken away. And beyond college, those who do take time to study and progress forward will approach $1 million in debt, or maybe even more. No single teacher sold you out. No single politician could ever be held responsible for any of this. You don't know math because you were never taught math. All that time, you were being coerced into memorization to pass the fucking test so that everyone along the way could get paid. It is not yet known if organized education can be trusted, but we are beginning to see that standardized education is by far the greatest betrayal that humanity will ever know. Part 4. War. War is a political card that is placed on a political table. It is a privilege of wealthy, mad men. War happens because it can happen. Because it is a card that can be played in a game of death by sick, detached, blind, and uneducated ghouls. It is a card that they want to play. Because the death of the young, of the teenage boys and girls, can restore an old man's virility. The teenagers are recruited into military out of poverty and lack of education, for the promise of a fucking car. Those smarter than that just have no choice. They have zero choice. The could, the maybe, the what if is not a real choice. There's just the fucking recruitment office. The officers are not better off. And you certainly do not want to trust one to get your back in battle. War will always occur at the moment that all the shitty politicians that nobody voted on corner themselves out of incompetence. When no one can make a move, a button is pushed to initialize the war machine and, get this, restore the fucking economy that they did nothing to build and think of and engineer and empower. Now let me clarify, this is not about military moves. No, the military does not want war. They know war. War is the last thing on a warrior's mind. The moves, the games, the cards belong to a political game. Imagine this hypothetical situation. A nation spends decades providing its people with deliberately fake education to prevent and neuter any and all potential interference with the crime family in charge. I call them crime family-based governments. Everyone in the more international political community knows this. The now failed nation's propaganda alone is fascinating to watch and get a chuckle out of. This is not acceptable behavior, because the international community must care for all the people in the world, for all the individuals. They have to. Borders mean nothing. We are one family, one people. The only thing that divides us is what we were raised with. There are no genetic differences. In fact, some people say that 100,000 years ago, there was only 10,000 humans left, all huddled up together during a really cold period. We are one family in the most important of ways. We have to learn to care what happens to people in all the other nations of the world. And we may get frightened, but that only occurs because they're getting a bad education, and it's really hard to pull out of that. It's being done on purpose, to reinforce the borders, to keep things the way they are, to keep people making money. Now, to return to our hypothetical, this nation that deliberately attempted to disable the minds of its people, you know, with fear mostly. Poor people aren't actually stupid, they're just terrified. They saw it coming, they see war coming long before it happens. And they saw us looking away. Oh, they can see across all the cardinal directions. But there's nothing they can do, or they have been taught that there is nothing that they can do to leave the borders of their nation. Part of that is the poverty. The poverty is largely fake. It's largely there to keep the population within the prison of the borders, where they can be workers and keep the nation going, enriching those creepy crime family-based governments. This kind of a nation will suffer the worst economic disasters, not just from freak events like pandemics, though, as you can imagine, things are really bad. But just the chaos alone of the criminal misery that they created is enough to cause an economic failure or collapse. That economic failure of all the stupid politicians, the parasites, is the stalemate. And that, this incompetence, is the root of war. This is what actually starts war. Stupidity, greed, blindness, creepy crime families. Things are always a lot more complicated than they seem. That is something that we can all agree on. Whatever initializes the war in the first place, whatever madness it is there to cover up failure and reboot the nation's economy. Epilogue. every move you make in life. Magnified by all the other motions of all the other people, has consequence. The butterfly effect to all your thoughts is real. It applies. By just blindly accepting high school for what it is, as fake as it is, by just brainlessly waiting for that one good class that gives you good grades, that has a fun teacher, by just doing your homework to get it done and following your stupid friends and having that beer and doing stupid things, you don't create a war, but you do feed the random noise from which it can emerge. To borrow from Gibson, you become a gray dot on a TV screen tuned to a dead channel. By doing nothing, you empower those who do evil by taking advantage of indifference. You have to rise. You may be young, but you are part of this world. And you have to rise. The challenge starts way early. You're probably years overdue. Do not let them turn you into a puppet. Do not try to dismiss the world as corrupt. That's part of what dictators want you to do. Do not look to Project Mayhem, as it only reveals your stupidity and laziness. No. You are a citizen of the world and the builder of its future. Just as soon as you set your foot in school, you become a player in a political game. You gotta play it back. Look to something that can be called Project Humanity. Look to world peace, to making the world better, and to strengthening yourself with knowledge, wisdom, and greatness. It is a simple task. Use the world's poverty to erase itself. Use it against itself. Use it against those that have thus far been taking advantage of it. Grow up to create a school that functions like a computer game where you can't pass a level until you're really good at it. That means teachers are not going to be able to push students through to hide their incompetence. So the school is gonna work for real. Find large corporations willing to bet against the nuclear war that will put them out of business. Easy. And put an initial fund together to pay your students. Pay them well for learning for real. Think about the boy criminal in the first part. That's how well you want to take care of students. Love and wisdom. Oh, yes. Learning programming on your own, or taking to design and slowly becoming a designer, are really good examples of real education. So self-education is the pattern for real education. Let your first class graduate, find their own investors, and then take 10% of all their profits to continue fueling your school where you are paying the students for attendance. You can view the school as a colorful and powerful startup accelerator. But, it is not there to turn a profit. This is the school. The school that we all thought we were going to when we were little. You and the countless many others that accept this challenge will create the first real and effective network of world schools. Not for profit, not for glory, but for lifting humanity's levels of education up and helping it activate its genius. This school is meant to help all of the world's cultures grow up and extend themselves to finally converge in wisdom and greatness on world peace.